up your frozen dinners, grab your TV tray, and settle in for another episode of the Plus Platoon, your podcast for all things Disney Plus, brought to you by Disney Plus fans. Watch along with us every week as we cover all the new, the old, the good, and the bad on Disney Plus. So put down that remote, don't touch that dial, and welcome your fabulous Plus Platoon host.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, good to see you this evening.
Good to see you too, Derek.
Next, we have Pete. Pete, how's it going?
Good. Any chance for me to bring out my Captain America shirt?
I was curious what you were going to say.
And we've actually got a guest from way back, longtime supporter of the show. We've got Ed with us. Ed, how are you doing this evening?
Doing well. I just want to say, hey, Pete, on your left.
Except it's his right.
Yeah, I know, but I had to pull the line. Yeah, yeah.
I like it.
Guys, if you've not already, please like, subscribe, share. We got some fun shows coming up, including our 200th show that's going to have a live trivia component to it. So, going to be a lot of fun. Okay, this week with Captain America 14 or whatever it is showing up this week, we decided to go back to look at...
Did you just say Captain America 14?
Whatever. I've lost count this week. I mean, seriously.
That was really good.
What is the subtitle for this one? I honestly don't remember.
Brave New World?
Brave New World. That's right. No, Brave New World or New World Order? I think it's Brave New World.
Yeah. It was originally going to be New World Order and they changed it.
I don't know. It's a whole new world. Wait, that's something else.
Yeah.
This really is a new fantastic point of view.
Yeah. Anyway, that would be such a much better movie to watch. Anyway, so Captain America Winter Soldier takes place 2 years after the Avengers. Also after Captain Marvel, although it came out a long time before Captain Marvel. Because Nick Fury's already lost his eye. And I'm now... As the non-Marvel resident of the group, it is before Civil War, correct?
Yes.
Okay. How long before Civil War?
Probably about 2 years. Because Civil War, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in Civil War, but Civil War is Steve rescuing Bucky or... recovering Bucky. So
is that what him and Iron Man disagreed on so bad?
Because he killed Iron Man's parents.
Right. Bucky actually killed the Starks. So there were several disagreements in that movie, but that in the end, that was the big thing that broke them apart was over.
Before or after Age of Ultron?
That was after. This was before. Did you guys stay and watch the post-credit sequence?
Yes, but again, this is me asking because... Yeah.
So that post-credit sequence is the first time we see Wanda.
Right.
And her big movie debut is Age of Ultron. So this was right before Age of Ultron.
Okay. So, lots of stuff happened in this one, so we're just going to go ahead and dive right into it. First question I have, in this movie and fairly early in the movie, Steve goes and visits a old Peggy who remembers him and you can tell is dealing with some dementia or Alzheimer's or something because all of a sudden something happens and all of a sudden it's like she sees him for the first time since he has come back. My question is, and I'm going to start with I'll start with Ed on this one. Give him the shot, first shot at this. So this in this timeline, we see her with pictures, etc. in Endgame, he has gone back and been with Peggy this whole time. We assume. So, does that cause a big continuity problem with the pre-Endgame timeline? So, Ed, I'll start with you on this one.
So, and you're referring to the continuity piece, Mike, is that when he's at the museum, the Captain America Museum, I guess, and he's watching an old video of Peggy talking.
No, the big continuity problem I'm thinking about is the fact that she has two kids by not Steve Rocker. Yeah.
So back to that museum scene, she's in that black and white recording talking about how Captain America's come in, Steve Rogers has saved the day, this platoon, if you will, of soldiers, and has, you know, saved the lives of these thousand men. And even in, and one of those men would be the guy that she would eventually marry. If you hit the interweb, there are schools of thought that says, because she's kind of esoteric in that, she's not really specifying who that guy is. And she even makes a comment that says, I got to get this right, says, he, even in his death, he's still shaping my life.
So the idea is that she's already pregnant?
The idea is that they're already married, Captain America. So that time stuff is always confusing, right? Any sci-fi movie, you're like, what? How? And you try to make those connections. But the idea is when she's recording that film, she's already married to Captain America. She's just being a little discreet about it, is not sharing who her husband is. And they just kept it a secret.
I just want to say that Confused Kate is out with a vengeance right now. But haven't we noticed that anytime there's wibbly wobbly timey wimey things and time jumpy things, that's when I get the most confused. So it wasn't until I never questioned the continuity until Derek was like, we need to question the continuity. But now I'm like, I don't know.
So I would come back with, to show my total nerdiness here, Marvel fan, Star Trek fan, just go with Captain Janeway. Don't worry about the time loops. Just take it as it comes.
Oh, you had to pick her as the captain to quote. And that was such, no.
Well, I had to go for space because, as you know, one of the things that makes Captain America so prominent, maybe just has a bigger perspective because he is on that moon base and you know, he's just got to, a bigger, a higher level view. And so he gets time travel, whereas the rest of us don't.
Pete, help.
So, you know, I get very annoyed very easily by time travel, and I mostly liked what they did in Endgame, but that particular thing I did not like because they spent the entire movie talking about how we can't do something like that.
And he does
it. The movie, the main guy, Captain America, goes and does it. And the only way it works is if he, it has to be one of two things. What Ed said, either he was there the entire time married to Peggy and no one knew it somehow. And watching this movie, to me, that makes almost no sense because how would Steve go back in time to the whenever the 1950s or 40s or whatever and never tell Peggy that Hydra is taking over Shield? Seems hard. Like he was like, oh, I can't talk to you about it. You know, I know, and I just can't tell you. So I just have a hard time believing that he would have done that. So then the only alternative was that he went back and formed an alternative timeline, and then that gets all baloney. So I do believe it's a continuity problem that they chose to make to give Steve a happy ending. And you know, if you think too much about it, and you know, again, I will say it's a movie, you know, so
yeah, true.
Probably shouldn't think too much about it, but they do try to be, you know, continuous through these movies. I don't know. I prefer not to think about that particular thing, but I think it's a continuity problem. I disagree with that.
Fair enough. Okay.
What about you?
Okay, Ed, go ahead. No, go ahead, Ed.
And I was going to say the motivation for him to go back in time. I mean, clearly you can start to see it in Winter Soldier. He's tired. He's fighting the good fight. He's wearing down. He's doesn't have any friends and he misses something. So I could see in the end game them wanting to resolve that thread and put him back in his time where he feels he belongs. Now, that said, shocker, I don't know if I put a whole lot of stock in this theory, but it was a theory that when you start talking about continuity, I always start researching it. So,
see, to me, the motivation was to go back to be with Peggy. And he has, to me, he showed that through at least all the movies I saw, there was at least something there of there was this girl once who I loved and I missed our date is basically, and the whole they were married already with the way he talks, I don't buy it at all. He talks like someone who was in love, but there was not that pure, that complete connection yet. Especially not with kids, because if there was kids, he would think he would be looking them up.
Well, the Steve that we know hadn't been through that because he hadn't gone back in time yet.
Yeah. And Pete brings up a very good flaw in the plan that in the idea that I had put forward is that how could you have a Steve that actually went back? Peggy knew, Steve knew, but wait, there's Steve at the hospital bed. That doesn't math well. So,
But then again, when you start thinking of real world and you think of Marvel, you're already on two opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
So,
well, it is a movie of people walking around in tight pants and things, and that's not real either. So,
well, unfortunately, some places it is. Have you ever been at Walmart at 2 a.m? or state fairs or, you know, Disney World? So, okay. Now, so we talk about this is definitely a Marvel movie, but where does this rank as far as its Marvelness? How Marvel-y of a Marvel movie is this? Kate, I'm going to start with you off on this one.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think this is a very Marvel-y movie. It has Nazis in it, and
Indiana Jones.
What?
Didn't Indiana Jones be the one with the Nazis in it?
Listen, I think that there's a universe where Indiana Jones could somehow be connected.
I mean, he is president in this new Captain, in this new, the new Captain America movie. So,
see, it's got a whole bunch of those in it, and it's got all the fight scenes. And then I remember watching this in the theaters, and when it was revealed that Bucky is the Winter Soldier, the entire audience gasped. Like, it, I remember that moment. And to me, that is pivotal Marvel throwing in those, like, catch you off guard plot twists. So, and you've got the love, you've got the throwbacks with Peggy, and you've got Hydra, and like somebody died, but is he really dead? Fury's not dead. Blah, blah, blah. Like, it, this is classic. I mean, this is classic Marvel. So, yeah, go ahead, Pete.
I'm gonna agree with you and say, but I want to say this is like the best of what Marvel does, kind of, which is a lot of superpowered people punching each other. You know, you get a lot of that throughout the years with Marvel. And I think that they really did it very well. The action scenes in this movie are spot on. The chase scene with Nick Fury. And I wanted to bring his death up too, but we'll talk about that in another question. So I really like it really works for me as a Marvel movie, considering, you know, the Marvel does have a template, and this is a perfect example of it and a well done example of it. Ed, what do you want to say?
I was going to say not my favorite or my best Marvel movie. I know, counterpoint here. So sorry. To me, watching it over this weekend just to prep for this show, I was like, wow, there's a lot of Jason Bourne component in this. There's a lot of that Wanted component in it. There's the Winter Soldier is Bucky. Well, there's a Star Wars component, you know, the mysterious father sister thing. So just, I don't know, I just not feeling this. It's not a movie that I would say, ooh, Winter Soldier's on, let me stop everything and watch it. So not very Marvel-y.
You know what? I don't agree that it's not very Marvel-y, but I will agree that of the gamut of Marvel movies, this is not one that I'd be like, oh, Winter Soldier's on. Let's watch that. Like I might for Black Panther. Or like I might for the Avengers. I will agree with that point.
Yeah.
I don't. Okay.
And I was going to say that, you know, to me, if you want a Marvel movie that is completely based around action and fight scenes, it's this one. Because there's not a lot of not fighting plot in this. It's all based around the act. 99% of it's based around the action scenes. So to me, that makes it that's what I mean by, you know, a Marvel movie. The Marvel movie is all action and a little bit of plot. So which a lot of them have. And it's, to me, that makes it a very Marvel-y movie, in that if you want to just, if you're going to it for just the fight and the action scenes and the long drawn out wait, you know, you're telling me they haven't gotten shot, they haven't actually shot him yet scenes, then this is definitely a Marvel movie to me. So, Ed, you had something else to add, I think.
Yeah, I think it's, oh yeah, it was the whole Jason Bourne reference. I mean, there was a point during the car chase where Fury's trying to escape. I thought, wow, this is so Jason Bourne. And as you watch the spy, the double cross, super cross, secret undercross, you're like, who's who? And, you know, if you're watching it for the first time, it would feel just kind of Jason Bourne, you know?
So, when did plasma torches become common issue and then not common issue? I mean,
how much can a plasma torch cut through layers of concrete and get you into the sewer?
That's what I more thought was like, okay, yeah, cut the roof off the car, but like, I hope there was a manhole underneath you at the.
But that's not what it looked like. Right. It looked like he cut a big hole in the ground, and I'm going, really?
Really? He had his Mace Windu lightsaber with him.
That would have made a whole lot more sense. So,
and how did he cut a perfect circle? Have you ever tried to cut a circle?
You can cut a circle. You cut a blob. And
it wasn't a circle.
No, it was more of a squarish thing.
Okay.
So
we'll give him a thing.
Now, speaking of the scene where Nick Fury attempts, you know, they attempt to kill him and then end up killing him, and he killed him. Marvel brings so many people back from the dead. And Pete, I'm going to let you kind of dive in on this one. Does the resurrection still work, or is it a massively overused so to this point in Marvel?
At this point, it's hard to do it. It's hard to not feel that way with every character that, oh, they can bring them back at some point if they need to.
Not can, will.
Well, they don't always. I mean, they've said they're not going to bring back supposedly Black Widow and but yeah, I mean, when this movie came out, Kate mentioned like that, realizing it was Bucky, same thing. I mean, you got to remember, this was only like the fifth or sixth Marvel movie from the MCU. When they killed Nick Fury in the watching this in the theater, it was like, oh, they killed Nick Fury. Like, they hadn't done that before where they did that. Now I feel like they've done it like four times with Nick Fury alone. But
didn't they kill him in Secret Invasion and then he's back?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I mean,
I feel like it's made a lot less weight to them, and it doesn't help the multiverse. The multiverse doesn't help that at all. Cause it's like, well, we kill somebody. Let's just pull him from another universe. There we go. We got him. So it had weight back when this movie came out, but that's one of the things rewatching it is you never feel like, oh, Nick Fury's dead. I mean, having seen it, of course, I knew that, but I would think even someone like you, Derek, who hadn't seen it before watches. Well, of course, again, you know, Nick Fury's and other things, but it's just, yeah, there's a lot less weight to somebody coming back when you do it over and over again.
When I saw Nick Fury be dead, I knew he wasn't.
Right. Right. So, because you'd seen other things too.
Yes.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I just, to me, it's just, who are they? It's a case of nobody's ever, and we've joked about it before, nobody's ever really dead in Marvel. I mean, at some point, I'm waiting for Robert Downey Jr. playing Dr. Doom to battle Robert Downey Jr. playing Iron Man. I mean, it's going to...
I'm not going to lie. I would love to see that.
Oh, no. Please, no.
I would love to see that.
But just...
I would love for them to end the multiversal shenanigans, personally.
I would... Well, there's multiple things I'd like them to end. But anyway, including the bad MCU shows, but which actually we have a news item on one of those, but way down the road. So, okay. So this actually brought in an interesting point. So one of the major plot points was that people who the computer can judge your past behaviors and therefore predict future crimes that you're going to commit. And the idea was that they go in and kill the people that are going to commit future crimes to prevent that from happening. And this has been done in so many movies. I mean, Ed, I'm going to kind of let you lead off on this because you've done a little bit of the looking on some of the different movies that it did this. But it's, and it kind of gets into the whole, are future crimes, and assuming that, I'm going to assume in this conversation that they will commit the crimes that they are predicted to commit. So are future crimes worthy of present punishment?
Right. So the direct answer to that question is, heck no. What this movie kind of leaks of again is, I think I referenced it earlier, was the movie Wanted, the one with Angelina Jolie and get to my notes here real quick. James McAvoy and Morgan Freeman were in there. And there's this movie centers around this magical loom, in air quotes, magical loom.
Wait. We've seen that in Loki. Oh, wrong loom.
There's that too. And there's, although my Loki movie watching and show watching, I'm not well rehearsed in that. But anyway, this loom, in theory, is supposed to predict who is going to commit a crime or who's the baddie. And then they go after that person and then prevent bad things from happening. It's just, it's an interesting Hollywood kind of dystopia type thing. It comes up a lot. And, it's just not something I just, I'm not a predestination. Predestiny is the better word. Predestiny type of fan. So, not my thing, but it's fun to watch it in a movie, but, yeah, no.
Yeah. And to me, it brings in the whole butterfly effect thing of, okay, and is the future really already written versus is it a case of one little thing can change it? See, you know, I'm thinking Back to the Future 3 of how he didn't race do the drag race, therefore the letter erased of the year fired, therefore Back to the Future 2 never actually had to happen, so we never actually had to suffer through that movie. So...
Wait, was Back to the Future 2? Was that where they went into the Wild West?
That's 3.
Oh, okay.
Two was the one where they actually go into the future.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah. But anyway, I mean, so Pete, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the issue to me is that, like, if you like, let's say someone determines that, I don't have a brother, but let's say my brother. It turns into a criminal. And so they kill him because of some crime he's going to commit. Well, now they've changed who I am. Now maybe I'll become a criminal. So now where I wasn't going to have become a criminal. And so now are you like reshuffling the deck every time and everything like that? So it's not, I mean, it's as Ed said, it's a good premise for a movie, but the one thing I did get a kick out of, I don't know if you were paying close enough attention in that scene where they were targeting everything. One of the people they targeted was the president.
Yeah.
In this movie.
And Tony Stark, wasn't it?
Maybe. I don't know. I didn't catch that, but it showed the White House, but it actually showed, if you read the little dot, it said,
yeah, it was president.
Yeah. So, it's just not a realistic thing to do because, as I said, because the fact that you're making those changes is going to change the future anyways, and it's going to make other people criminals, and it just...
But then they'll go in and prune the sacred timeline with the TVA and everything.
Yeah, you can't punish people for things they haven't done yet.
But then it's the old, if you could go back and stop Adolf Hitler, would you? And should you?
So here's my thing. So if you know Hitler's history, I would go back and get Hitler into art school.
Yeah.
I wouldn't shoot him.
Dangerous territory.
He applied to art school in Vienna twice and he didn't get in. So instead he went into politics. So if he got into art school, he wanted to be an artist originally. If he got into art school.
He was a painter.
Yeah. Never would have.
Literally a painter. So. Okay. And while we're jumping off the deep end on some of this stuff.
Jump away.
Bucky was
still sexy, baby.
Oh, thank you. So, Russian agent, run by, okay. By the way, did anyone else think the voice and the look of the German computer guy looked like the little German car in Cars 2? That's where I went, because it's green. The car was green, and it did anyway.
No, I get that. That was Toby Jones, though. He played that character in the first Captain America movie.
So. Sure. So, which I will be honest, I have not seen. So, right. So has Bucky done enough to redeem himself? Not in this movie, but through everything he was in, he's been in several of the movies. He was in Endgame. He was in Falcon. We watched him in Falcon and Winter Soldier. Has he done enough to redeem himself from what he did in the previous movies? And Kate, I'm going to go ahead and start throw you under this bus. I'm going to start with you on this one.
Okay. So yes, we're talking post this movie, right? Is what you just said?
Correct. Yes,
absolutely. I think
so. Okay, so as someone who has not seen all of the movies that he has been up to this point, convince me he has done enough to redeem himself.
I'm able to do that, because I know you.
No. Like, tell me what he has done to redeem himself.
Oh God, you really put me on the spot.
Okay, we'll come back to you.
No. It's only because, like, I'm not, because I have watched the entirety of everything.
Which is why I started with you.
Cite where things happened.
Okay, but, so what he did, not necessarily when.
Didn't he, was it during Falcon Winter Soldier where he, like, went back to the Chinese man, whose son he had killed, and he tried to, like, make amends for that? And he's really, it's been a minute since I've watched everything, but like, I do remember that.
Yes.
Yeah. I like when you, as a viewer, if you're a bad guy, doesn't matter how hot you are, Sebastian Stan, if you've done really bad things, it's hard to win me over. And I thought
it was hotter in The Martian. But anyway,
I don't know if I've ever seen The Martian. Anyway, doesn't hurt. I know.
Movie, Kate.
Okay, add it to your list. Like,
I don't know if it's because I was a bigger Bucky fan than I was Cap in like the originals. I loved Bucky. So
why?
I'm going to say, yeah, because just based on my feelings of having watched everything that has been released, quite literally everything. It took us 2 years. I love Bucky. I love Winter Soldier. Has he done really terrible things? Yes, but I don't know. I'm going to pass it off to Pete before you knock me out. Go ahead, Pete.
I'm going to let Ed go first because he put a yes first.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have to admit, when Derek, you sent the notes out, the question was, has he done enough to redeem himself? And so I thought, okay, he must be thinking about, has he done enough in this movie to redeem himself? And then I thought more, I thought, well, all he did was haul Captain America out of the water.
Captain. Yeah, that was the only thing he did to redeem himself in this movie.
I got to thinking, well, if I'm a competitive swimmer, I haul myself out of the water every day. Redeem me, you know? So there's that. But I don't know. To me, it doesn't seem like that's... We still need to address the question. I wonder if maybe the better question is it really about redemption of Bucky, or is it more about Captain America trying to get his friend back? Friend, brother, I forget that relationship. I should know it.
Friend. It's friend.
And so it's more of pulling that relationship back together than it is redeeming. Yes, redemption is going to happen because of that, but that's really where Steve Rogers is going.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes, but not because of what he's done to redeem himself, but with the understanding that he was being controlled by another force when he was doing all these horrible things. It was not Bucky's a bad person. It was Bucky is brainwashed and unable to make decisions for himself. And even in, when we get to the next movie in Civil War, he's kind of on his own. And then Baron Zemo tracks him down and uses the like code words to activate him again. And he ends up, he kills T'Challa's father in that movie. And, you know, I think, and then again, he's like released from that trigger or whatever. And it starts all the stuff in motion that happens in Civil War. So I would say, yes, he can be redeemed if we accept that he was not in control of himself when he did all the terrible things he did. Because if that was his choice to do all those terrible things, I would have a harder time with saying he can redeem that. But being brainwashed or whatever you want to call it, I can see that argument. I think it's wild also that in the Thunderbolts trailer that he is a congressman. he's wearing the pin of a congressman, and I'm like, ah, man, I don't know, elected officials, we've really lowered our standards, I guess.
No comment. Yeah. Ed.
Yeah, so Pete said something that reminded me of another cross movie combination. To me, that's the Star Wars bleeded, right? Bucky, I know there's good in you. There's good inside you. You're not this dark guy. And so the redemption, to me, it's less about, I mean, philosophically speaking, there's nothing we can do ourselves to redeem ourselves. It's really how we are received by others, right? So,
okay, counterpoint. Two things. One, that means Natasha is truly not a good guy just because of everything she done, and she has no remorse for it. But in this movie, he almost voluntarily gets rebrainwashed. It's kind of the feeling I got of he knew once they put that, he was strong enough that he could have broken some of the bonds, but he knew once they put that mouth guard in, he knew exactly what was going to happen, and he almost did. It seemed to me like he almost did it willingly. So it's a case of, yes, in his right mind, blah, 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 blah. But how hard did he really fight doing what he did? Because I'm just, at some point, there's an old hypnotist thing thought that you can't make someone do what their subconscious would not let them do already. So how much of it was actually he was okay doing this stuff already. It just depends on who he did it for. And does doing it for the Russians make it worse than doing it for the Americans? Right. So, Ed?
So, I guess to kind of dig in or lean into what I think Pete and I are going with this is, not only was he treated with whatever scientific or chemical methods they're using, but he was also manipulated. So, even without the code words, you know, he's picked up off the bottom of some snowy mountain and hauled into some lab and treated. And then they would have engaged in him almost in a cultish like way, showing him there's this new way, new freedom we're looking for, and all of it just to manipulate Bucky to do what Bucky did. So, once Bucky realizes that, what Steve Rogers is trying to influence him back, then yeah, then Bucky, you know, changes his ways. And
yeah, I agree. I think he's done enough to redeem himself as a human being as much as he can. He can't change what he's done in the past, but I think he's remorseful. And in the real world, would he be a hero at any point? I don't know.
No, but, I don't see it.
Yeah. But does the public know about all that stuff, right? The public might not even know about that. You know, they might just know him from working with, working with like Endgame and Falcon and the Winter Soldier stuff that he helped to right some wrongs there. And that might be, I guess we'll find out in Thunderbolts how he's a congressman, because that seems crazy.
What did he do in Infinity War? Anything significant?
He just fought in the Battle of Wakanda, and then he got dusted, and then he came back at the end. So he didn't do much in those. Most of his redemption was really through the TV show Falcon and the Winter Soldier, of him actually like doing things to try to redeem himself.
Fair enough. Ed, last point.
And to your point about Natasha, you're right. She is on that borderline. She happens to be with the Avengers, but she's got a dark past. But keep in mind, she does the ultimate redemption. She throws her life in for saving the world, yo. So that's
And there's also a thought that, in theory, Jeremy Renner was supposed to be the one that actually revealed who the Winter Soldier was. Mm-hmm. But he was not available for this movie, so they had to do it a different way. So, okay. As we always do, we do cups of pixie dust out of 5. And Kate, I'm starting with you. Cups of pixie dust on Captain America Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I'm going to give this a solid 3. I probably could go to a 3.5, but I feel like, Derek, could you look up what I gave Black Panther?
If you give me a minute, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to give it a 3 for now. Pete, go ahead and go. I'm just curious what I gave Black Panther. Go ahead, Pete. So or the Avengers, or the original Avengers.
Yeah, so this is my favorite Marvel movie. I still love it, and I love this movie. I love it, love it, love it. I don't know why. It's just got the right level of superhero with a lot of the, like, so many characters now have become so powerful. It's just kind of silly at times to me. And like, yes, Captain America has super strength, but like, at the end of this movie, he legitimately looks like he could lose. Whereas if you got, the Hulk or Captain Marvel or any of these characters, you're like, they're never going to lose. They're so ridiculously powerful. So I think the fight scenes and the car chases and everything in this movie are great. The end sequence is great with the helicarriers. I love the subplot of, do you want, like, what level of trust do you have in your government that do you allow them to get to a point where they can do whatever they want, or do we need checks and balances? It's without getting political, I'll say that this spoke to me more watching it today than it did 10 years ago. I just love this movie, so I'm giving it 5. Ed?
Okay, I'm struggling between a 2 and a 2.5. Just because of the things you said, Pete, you made me rethink it. I put these movie scores on some little rubric I make. I can't help it. I'm a K-12 teacher. Or used to be. So originality, because you know, I kept crossing it or comparing it to other movies. Nothing for that. Plot, I kind of gave it a 0.5. Would bump it to a 1 because of what Pete just said about how it kind of ties in today more than it did when it first was in theaters. So acting, of course, is good. I usually don't have problems with the acting in Marvel movies. Maybe a few that are kind of campy. Would I watch it again? I'd give it a 0.5 for that. So I'm somewhere between the 2. And I usually have a special point that I give it if I really like the movie, like Ragnarok quality movie. But Winter Soldier does not get this point. No. So it gets a 2.5. If you're going to force me to pick a number, Derek, then I'll choose 2 just to be.
We always force.
I'm not like a full show.
Yeah.
No, am I possibly the highest rating on this?
You are not
the highest.
Pete is a 5.
Sorry. I thought you said a 2.5. I'm so sorry. I misheard. Okay. Then I'm satisfied.
Doesn't do a lot of shows on wine, people. Those of us who can handle our alcohol, give it a 2.
To all of you.
You guys know me in Marvel. I like the original Avengers better than this, and I give it a 2.5. I definitely liked Ant-Man better than this. Are there worse things I would rather watch this instead of? Maybe. I mean, this is just a Marvel movie to me. There's very little special about this one. So that's why I gave it a 2. So, Kate, what have we got for Disney Plus news this week?
We got a couple things. First of all, after previously announcing that Moana 2 would be released on Disney Plus in February, it has now been taken off the month's release schedule. There is no update for a release on Disney Plus.
Partially because they're still selling it on the services where you can buy it. So they're still making money off of it.
Yeah.
Got it. Next up, originally announced as a Disney Plus series, then a movie, Armor Wars is no longer in development, with several of the plot points thought to be moving to the Vision series that is coming. Chief among these is the return of Ultron, who was expected to be brought back in Armor Wars.
And this was going to be a Don Cheadle, the Don Cheadle vehicle that is just kind of, as I said, it's just kind of died. They interviewed him this week and he says, I have no information on this. There's nothing happening as far as I'm concerned. So. And that actually kind of goes, though, with Bob Iger saying, look, we put out a bunch of crap. We're actually going to put out, let's actually, condense it into something decent.
Sounds good. And last but not least, the warning before several Disney movies referring to content that depicts stereotypes is changing, removing the language about harmful impact and conversations. Instead, it will simply read that the program is presented as originally created and may contain stereotypes or negative depictions.
And this is based on the removal of some of the diversity in initiatives that has happened lately. And that's all we're going to say about that. So. Huh?
Not that it's a good move. That we're not saying anything about it is a good move.
Yeah, no. Yeah, we're not. We're just putting that out there as information.
I was about to say, I'm going to conveniently go mute myself so that we don't lose viewers.
Yeah. So, all right. Next week, we are in February. It is Black History Month. So we're going to be watching National Geographic's The Space Race, which follows the inclusion of African-American astronauts in the space program and how they started out and how they became more and more and more involved, specifically through the shuttle program. Nope, so we won't
be able to comment on that either.
Well, no, this we will be able to comment on as far as the quality of documentary, et cetera, et cetera.
This is true.
So I am personally a huge space fan. So I'm actually really looking forward to this, especially since it is a true documentary and not a movie about what happened. So I'm really actually looking forward to this. Ed, you had a comment on this? And Ed's muted.
Buddy.
So let me pull you off mute. Go ahead.
There you go. I'm looking forward to it as well, because you know what they're going to talk about, Kate? They're going to be talking about the moon.
Pete, I should not have unmuted him.
My guy.
We do have some spots coming up in March and April as far as spots. We don't have room spaces for shows yet.
That's so good. That means we can watch Oliver and Company.
Bye, Kate. Because that is such not a good movie. That is not. There's one song and the rest is trash. So kind of like the original Dickens story. So, but if you have suggestions, please email us at plusplatoon@gmail.com. We message us YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, anywhere. We have new shows coming out every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Pete, Kate, and Ed, thank you for joining us this week, and we will see everyone next week. Bye, guys.
Howdy.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews, as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Plus Platoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.